Now, I would like to turn today's program over to your host, Jerry Hansen. Jerry, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Welcome, everybody, to the Spring 2012 Voices of Chica. We're very excited that this is the first event that is being used on our new webinar platform, and we're looking forward to utilizing this platform many times over the coming year to provide more educational and informational events. What I would like to do is, first of all, thank the sponsors of this event, Deb Canada, Diversity, Virox, and Weber Training. We would particularly like to thank Paul Weber of Weber Training, who has hosted Voices of Chica for several years to great success. And Paul is continuing to be a sponsor of the Voices of Chica, and we thank him for his support in the past and present. The program for today will be a board update by Jim Gauthier, followed by a conference update by Ann Bielhowski, an audit toolkit update by Karen Klinker, an education update by Dr. Donna Moraleo, and then our special guest is Julie Starr from the Infection Prevention Society, who will provide an update on their activities. So, first of all, I would like to introduce Mr. Jim Gauthier, who is the 2012 President of Chica Canada, well known to listeners as he has participated in many of the Weber Training educational events, and a very fine representative of Chica Canada. And I present to you Mr. Jim Gauthier.
Thank you, Jerry. It gives me great pleasure to welcome everyone to Voices of Chicas, and I'm just going to give you a little update as to what the Board of Directors has been up to this point in the year. There's a lot of initiatives that are ongoing, the first of which is this Adobe Connect that we're now using for webinars. I'm quite excited to see the platform that we're using and to be one of the first, part of one of the first webinars that's going on with this. The communication from Chica is vitally important to our members, and we do put out our publication of a quarterly chapter president has been recognized as something that we need to do to get out to the chapter president's information to share with their chapters, and we're hoping to start this next month to get a letter out, so watch for that to come. Currently, members are receiving their quarterly journal. The spring edition is being put together as we speak. We have regular e-newsletters and e-broadcasts to update members as to what is going on with Chica and what is available to members. The annual member and source guide is another great resource for membership in Chica Canada that I like to talk to people as one of the biggest reasons for joining. It gives you a great idea of who you can get in touch with, what our specialties are. If you have an area of interest or a problem in a specific area, it lists members who carry some specialty in some of these areas. We're quite proud of our website. Shirley McDonald has done a phenomenal amount of work with our web designer in updating our website, and it's now recognized as an international resource because of the numerous links that are available in it. I still tend to go to this website when I need to find links quickly without having to go and search, because I know that Shirley's already thought of it and that it's there. Another initiative that the board is working on is a new format for our annual report. The board has had some templates that we've been looking at and working with Jerry very closely on. We're just trying to make it a little bit more user-friendly to present the information. A lot of it is going to be electronic before the annual general meeting so that you can review the reports that way. And what is actually presented at the AGM is going to allow a lot more opportunity for general discussion. In terms of products and services, Karen Klinker is going to talk to us about the audit tools and where we're at with all of that. There is a revision of our ESBL toolkit that we're now calling the GNR, or gram-negative rod toolkit. I'm not sure of an expected release date on that. I think we're looking for some time in the summer, but hopefully Jerry can update us on that as to when we expect that to be released. We're all excited with the launch of the Routine Practices e-learning tool that has been worked on in collaboration with Y Communicate and Georgian College. There is a sponsorship by Gojo to help this initiative move forward, and for each of these that is sold, Chica Canada does receive a small revenue back on it. Other initiatives around education. Donna Moraleo is going to be reporting on this a little bit further about her new Education Core Committee and her co-chair. the Distance Education Basic Infection Prevention and Control course is in its third iteration, and we have a full waiting list for when that opens up again, which is quite exciting for us. The Education Committee has been endorsing the Novice Infection Prevention and Control programs and making sure that the programs are current and relevant to members taking these courses. We're in the process of developing more webinar educational series, and again, the excitement of using a platform like this, it just makes me anticipate what we will be able to come up with. As mentioned, as part of our education resources is the routine practices e-learning tool, and I know Jerry is in discussion with BD Canada, along with Donna, about trying to continue the very successful Chica BD road shows that were going on across Canada, and we're hoping to see more of those and to be able to announce more of those coming up very shortly. Anne is going to talk to you about the 2012 National Educational Conference program and the work that has gone into that, and I know the 2013 National Education Conference preliminary program is being worked on. I'm not quite sure if it's been released yet or not. What I did also want to mention to all the members here is I will be chair of the 2014 National Education Conference, and when we actually sit down in November to start our preliminary program 2 years out, what we will be looking at are all of the evaluations that will be coming from the 2012 National Education Conference. So it's time for me to start reminding people that you have a large amount of input into what you're going to see at future national conferences by your comments on conferences that actually occurred 2 years before the event. Chica has been busy with our collaboration. We've been doing some work with APIC in the States with the core competencies module. The Canadian Patient Safety Institute's Stop Clean Your Hands Day coming up on May 5th, 2012 is fully supported by Chica Canada, and we're an active partner in that. There is discussion about a repeat of the antibiotic-resistant organism point prevalence study that was conducted, that they're looking at doing a follow-up, and we're just in talking with Dr. Andy Seymour in Toronto about how this is going to proceed and the information that they'll be seeking from this. I had the pleasure of going to Washington with Jerry this past January, and we had a summit meeting, we were calling it, with the Certification Board of Infection Control Executive Director and President, and the APIC Executive Director and President, and some of their board members, and we had some good discussions around how we work together and the importance of our certification and how we're going to move forward with that. The Certification Board of Infection Control, I attended their annual general meeting, and it was very nice to be able to sit there and indicate that Chica Canada has 36% of their members that are eligible to be certified are certified, compared to 25 or 26% of the APIC members. And the eyebrows went up around the table. There's a lot of instant discussion about how APIC can get more of their members certified. So congratulations to the CICs across Canada. We're going to encourage, hopefully, lots of American folk to get their CIC. Jerry is also taking part in a monthly administrative conference call with the Certification Board of Infection Control's Executive Director and the APIC's Executive Director, and this is allowing good collaboration between the three organizations. There is an Antibiotic Awareness Week coming up in November that we're also part of, we're members with. Jerry is working quite closely with the two organizations here. I'm just trying to think of my acronyms here. Jerry will have to help me. The NCID is the National Collaborative Council on Infectious Diseases, and I truthfully can't remember what CTAR stands for.
Okay. At this moment, either can I, but I'm so sorry. But it is the National Collaborating Council for Infectious Diseases.
Okay. Thanks, Jerry. Moving on, some of the initiatives that we've done always is to expand our membership base. Currently, we sit at 1,695 members when this presentation was put together, with our 24 corporate members. We have 22 chapters across Canada and 10 interest groups. I was very happy to be able to attend our newest chapter's inaugural meeting, which was the Simcoe Muskoka chapter that I had the opportunity to attend this past fall. We have numerous ways of recognizing our members. The Champions of Infection Prevention and Control is sponsored by our corporate partner 3M. We have our Chapter Achievement Award, which is also sponsored by 3M. The Virox Technology Scholarship for the upcoming conference have just been awarded, and the notification has gone out to the members that have were successful in their application for a scholarship. And I think we, Jerry, was it 20 scholarships that we put out?
19 Virox scholarships this year. We had 40-plus applications.
Yeah, so it was a long process for us to review all of these. The Ecolab Poster Contest is underway as usual, and the winner will be announced at our national conference in June. The CIC Chapter Achievement Award and Member CIC Recognition is ongoing, and we're always trying to find new ways to recognize our members. Those of you that are attending the conference in Saskatoon this June, make sure that you do pick up your CIC ribbon at the Certification Board of Infection Control booth. We have our Awards of Merit and our Honorary Membership that are awarded to members that are nominated by our membership. And all of the information on how to take part in this is found on the website in terms of the requirements. The inaugural Moira Walker Memorial Award for International Service has been announced, and we will be hopefully announcing a winner at this conference also. There's always the editorial award from the Canadian Journal of Infection Control that recognizes the best article submitted for the year. We're looking at ways of recognizing our distance education graduates, and we're always looking for new ways of recognition of new and certified CICs. And if you have ideas on other ways that we could do this, please pass it along to your chapter president or send an email to myself or to Jerry after your suggestions. We're also looking at a volunteer recognition certificate, and again, information on this is available on the website also. We're involved at both national and international leaderships. I'm thrilled to have Julie taking part today to give us an update from both the IPS and the WHO status. You can see our acronym madness that goes on here with the numerous bodies that we're involved with. Public Health Agency of Canada is now having regular communication with us, which is great. We have members that sit on the Accreditation Canada and the Canadian Standards Association. The Canadian Association for Drugs and Technology in Healthcare has input from CHICA Canada, as does the Canadian Patient Safety Institute, as I've already mentioned. We have CHICA members involved with the Operating Room Nurses Association of Canada, or ORNAC. We're involved with the First Nations and Inuit, Correction Services. AMR Consultation is a group of experts, including CHICA members, brought together by the former CCAR, the Canadian Council on Antibiotic Resistance. And that's where the new group is now the National Collaborating Council on Infectious Diseases, or NCID. International Infection Prevention Week is another acronym that we have up there. And the National Advisory Committee on Immunization has CHICA members involved with it, too. We have our fellow groups, IFIC, the Infection Prevention Society in Britain. CCIAP is the Canadian Coalition for Immunization Awareness and Promotion. CFID, or Canadian Foundation for Infectious Diseases, and NPSR, when I looked it up, I actually Googled that and found out it stands for No Pants Subway Ride, if you want to see some interesting YouTube videos, but it's actually the National Patient Safety Roundtable. And I didn't realize there was such a day being held across this good country of ours that you ride the subway in your underwear. Moving on to our other initiatives, things that we've got in the wings that we're discussing at a board level is the revitalization of our emergency and disaster toolkit. We're looking at doing that next year. The board policy and procedure manual revisions are underway, and it's an ongoing project that we're working on. Jerry's also working hard on a chapter organizational manual that has been undergoing revisions and development to help each of the chapters with their structure. We're looking at a mechanism to recognize membership-developed educational tools. We're trying to get a standardized infection prevention and control orientation package that's under discussion with various groups across the country. We're looking at a national infection control practitioner mentorship program, and that discussion will happen at the board level. And I think you'll also hear some further information about this at the national conference. Our audit tool development is always under discussion. We're looking for new audit tools, and again, Karen will touch on that. And a new development is the Diversity Scholarship for Continuing Education. I'm not sure if Jerry will have a little bit of news on that down the road or where that might be coming from, but it's another new initiative that we have. I did want to touch briefly on our fee increase and the cost of doing business. I hope most of the members online are aware that we do have two full-time staff members, and part of Jerry's job, besides being our executive director, is also the conference planning. We do have a bookkeeper on staff to look after our books in and out, and an auditor that reviews our books on an annual basis for us. We have a cost with our distance education because we do have facilitators and instructors, and that has a cost to it in terms of organizing and maintaining our distance education program. We do have some costs involved with our webmaster, our web design, and other program support. Other costs of doing business for the national organization is the representation. We are asked to be on a lot of committees, and we try to attend what we can. The cost of having our registration online, our board meetings, just to get our board together. We do meet face-to-face a couple of times a year, but we have numerous meetings via teleconference and have discussions that way. We offer support to our interest groups and various committees. We try to support our chapter executive with their moving forward of their chapter level activities. Resource development and conference and meeting planning are all costs of CHICA Canada. Where do we get our revenue? Most of it's obvious through our membership fees and our corporate membership fees. Industry supports us quite nicely and helps us out with the activities that we try to do. The annual conference, we don't use it. It's not there purposely as a revenue-generating source, but when we do generate revenue with it, it's an added bonus to us. We do make some money off of our educational resources. The distance education tuition goes back into CHICA Canada, any profit that's left over from the program. The e-learning tool tuition, this is a new initiative for us, and it'll be interesting to see the revenues that are generated from this. We do have some income coming from our website now that we do have some of the corporate sponsors on the website, and we do get some royalties from our journal and the membership directory. You're aware of our fee increase, I'm sure. I just wanted to give a brief history on what happened with this. CHICA Canada expanded quite steadily through 2008 through 2010, and the cost of doing business increased, and our reserves were unfortunately steadily declining to try to meet the new cost of doing business. In the fall of 2010, the board reduced our travel and meeting expenses for all committees and reps. There was a salary freeze put on, which will continue through to the end of 2012. Last spring, the auditor predicted a loss of our reserves within 2 years if there was no fee increase. So the board took a good look. Our last fee increase was in 2004, which was a remarkably long time ago. And in May 2011, there was an emergency fee increase proposed at the board, and then we took that to the chapter president level to have discussions on it. At the AGM last May, the members approved a $70 fee increase effective January 1st of this year. It should be pointed out there is no GST or HST on our membership fees. And a lot of the chapter membership fee did not increase as part of this. We took a look also at the interest groups, and this chart here shows a breakdown of the membership category of what an individual membership was and what it went to. In 2011, part of the membership fee was also giving you the membership in, for CHICA Canada and a membership in one chapter and one interest group. And that has actually changed now that you have an unlimited number of interest groups that you can belong to again in 2012. And so there's a comparison here of the dollar value as to what actually happened. And I guess that's the end of my slides. So if you, I'll turn this back over to Jerry at this point. And if there's some questions that have been submitted, we can address them now, or if that becomes an issue, we can address them through some email afterwards. Jerry?
We invite participants to text their questions to us. We will answer questions as we can at the end of all the presentations. Thank you very much, Jim. Just for some further information, the GNR toolkit is expected to be launched at the 2012 conference, so please look for that when you come to the conference, and it'll be announced afterwards as well. I'd now like to introduce Anne Bielachowski, who is the chair of the 2012 conference. Anne?
Hi. Thank you very much, Jerry. So I'm just going to give you an update on the CHICA conference, which is rapidly approaching. It seemed like it was a long way away when we started developing and deciding on what the topics would be, and now we're almost there. So for 2012, the theme is Growing for the Future. And so how did I get here in this role? A number of years ago, it was decided that the format and the way that the conferences were going to be planned was going to be done on a national level rather than have the chapters take on the full load of doing the planning. So now there's a national conference committee that does this. And this is actually my last role as president of CICA Canada. So this is sort of my last hurrah. And it will be a sad moment because this, I'm officially off the board this year, but I have really certainly enjoyed my work with CICA Canada. And I'm sure that I will find lots of other roles that I can take on in the future and stay very, very involved with CICA. So in terms of the scientific committee, as I said, a number of years ago, it became a nationally appointed committee, and representation from, there is some, so every year there's a call for a membership on this committee for, or on the scientific planning committee as positions become open, and so these folks are have to submit their CV and are selected to be on this committee. So we have had the real pleasure of working with the 2012 scientific committee. The scientific chair is Molly Blake, and the co-chair is Colette Ouellette. Acute care is Joanne Baines, and Marilyn Winemaster is the long-term care rep. Our community and public health is Alexis Silverman. Microbiology and infectious diseases, Dr. Oscar Larius. And there is a rep from CICA SASPIC, so there will always be, for each year, there will always be a representative from the chapter. And there's also a representative from a smaller chapter that would not normally have the venues, so they'll never have the opportunity as a chapter to host a conference. Then they get to be on a conference planning committee as a smaller chapter. And so our member at large is Rita Montgomery, and she's from our smaller chapter in Ontario. And our conference planner, as always, is Jerry Hansen. And we have this year our special day is the cleaning, disinfection, and sterilization, the Virox Day, and that's being planned by Alexis and Nicole Kenny. And the run or walk for IFIC is being organized by Brenda Temple. Okay, so it is going to be, as always, a very busy week. Not quite as compressed as it was last year. We had a few learning moments last year where we had tried to condense it down a bit too much, and it was very, very difficult for the board to, because what happened was that the board were having a lot of meetings during the conference days and didn't get much of an opportunity to get to many of the sessions. So we've tried to open it up a little bit more so that it's not nearly as compact. So as you can see, there is an interest group day, and I'll just mention that, and I know Jim briefly talked about that the interest groups are being asked to submit their plans for the meeting ahead of time, because this is an incredibly expensive day to host if we have a lot of rooms and not a lot of work happening at those sessions. So we're really reviewing what's happening within the interest groups and how we're using that time. And so that day will certainly be reviewed very closely by the conference at the end, by the conference planning committee at the end of the meeting. As you can see there, we will still have our novice and advanced days. CICA SASPIC will be having a meet and greet, and we encourage folks to attend all of the social events, but for sure, please make sure to go to the SASPIC meet and greet. And this is our first conference in Saskatoon, so it is very exciting for that group to have us to be hosting. A couple of other things that I just want to draw your attention to. On June 19th, there is a hand hygiene dinner symposium, and so I think that's going to be quite interesting and taking some new looks at some other issues around hand hygiene that I know are near and dear to all of our hearts as we do so much more auditing of hand hygiene. We are going to be doing, our special event is a walk through Boomtown, and Jerry has been very busy planning that social event, and as always, I'm sure it will be a great success. And there will be lots of exhibits and posters, and the review of the posters is underway, or the abstracts is underway right now. Okay, on to the next. Some of our featured speakers. Gail Gilmore is going to be talking at both the Novice and Advanced Days. Gail has presented at quite a few of the CHICA conferences and has always received rave reviews, so we're really looking to hear Gail speak again. Cheryl Etches is a keynote speaker. She's coming to us from the UK, and she's going to be talking about how senior team supports are so important for infection prevention and control. Catherine Montgomery is going to be talking at the Novice and Advanced Days, and she's going to give us a bit of a view into how doctors think. I know that many of us are sometimes challenged by that, especially when we're talking about hand hygiene. So I'm definitely looking to hear what she has to say. Dr. Joseph Blondeau is going to be talking about antibiotic stewardship. Margaret Fass is going to be talking about antimicrobial resistance awareness and all the work that's going on right now. Dr. Sean Carby is going to be talking about disasters and dilemmas and give us an overview of some of his experiences dealing with disaster zones. So I think that's going to be quite interesting. Jay Keystone is going to be talking to us about travel medicine and what did you bring home with you will be his title of his presentation. And Julie, who's going to be talking to you a little bit later in this presentation, Julie Storr, who works for the WHO, is going to be talking about infection prevention and control, keeping it fresh and relevant. And one of our final speakers, Hugh McLeod, is going to be talking about storytelling in infection prevention and control. He's the CEO of Patient Safety. He has seen how storytelling can create a really visceral experience for people and make situations real and make it known that these bad situations can happen in your hospital, in your healthcare setting. And so he's going to be talking to us about how using storytelling can really bring a situation to life for people. Okay, so we do have, on Tuesday, we have some concurrent sessions. We have some sessions on accreditation, community and home care, and non-traditional settings. And on June 20th, we're going to be doing some stuff on pet therapy and pet visitors. And Dr. Scott Weiss from Guelph, who has come and spoken at a number of CHICA conferences and other conferences internationally, is going to provide us with some information on that. We have another session on bugs and bugs of all kinds, and then the concurrent session 3 will be infection prevention and control in the OR. Okay, now in terms of our special events, we have a number of those. As I already said, we have the SASPIC meet and greet, in which there will be a silent auction. And then there is the annual run or walk for IFIC. So those of you who have never done that in the past, I would really encourage you to do that. The funds go to support IFIC scholarships, which are certainly very, very worthwhile for folks coming from countries where they don't have a lot of funding, gives them an opportunity to attend a national conference. Our opening ceremonies are on Monday, and at that time we will be giving out awards of merit and the Moira Walker Memorial Award for International Service, and there will be an opening reception. The Hand Hygiene Dinner Symposium will be on Tuesday at 6, and we'll have a walk through Boomtown, which is, so we'll be going through one of the local museums, and there will be a dinner attached to that as well. And the closing ceremonies will occur on Thursday, and in that we'll be doing the oral and poster presentation awards and the best first-time abstract and also handing out the passport prizes. So for those of you who go through the exhibit hall and get your passports all signed off, you have an opportunity to win some really fabulous prizes. So there are 24 oral presentations for Tuesday and Wednesday, and so far, well, and then this time there are 50 poster presentations for Tuesday and Wednesday. So lots of stuff has been submitted and will be shown at the national conference. So the attendees will be picking the best oral presentation and the best poster presentation as they have in the past. So we encourage people to go through the presentations, have a look, and submit the vote for each of those different types of presentation. The conference venue and hotel will be the Hilton Garden Inn will be the headquarter hotel, so the speakers and board and other folk will be there, and then the other hotels will be the Sheraton Cavalier, the Delta Beesboro, and the Radisson Saskatoon, and those are all within quick walking distance of the convention center. So the conference will be held at CCU Place Convention Center, and that's across from the Hilton and 5-minute walk from all the rest of the hotels. So we have quite a few exhibitors and sponsors. There are 75 exhibiting companies and an education and network. This is an education and networking opportunity that I do encourage all of the attendees to go and meet with the exhibitors, find out their new products, find out new services. Every time that I go through, there's always something new that I learn, and it gives me an opportunity to find sometimes solutions to situations that I have going on in my own healthcare facility that I hadn't thought about or didn't know was available out in the marketplace. So in terms of our registration, we are keeping it green, and we have been doing that for quite a number of years. The registration brochure and registration is online. There's pre-registration deadline is June 13th, and the registration on site opens on Saturday, June 16th at TCU Place in Saskatoon from 7 to 10. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing all of you in Saskatoon. I like to tell everyone this is the Paris of the prairies. I have never been to Saskatoon, and I'm very much looking forward to going and exploring that fine city and taking in the various sites. So thank you very much, Jerry, and over to you.
Thanks very much, Anne, and we appreciate your leadership of the conference. It's going to be great. We encourage everyone to do their best to get there. And I know you have to leave for a meeting, so please go and with our thanks. If there's any conference questions, I'll respond to them.
Thank you so much, Jerry.
I'd like now to introduce Karen Klinker, who is the CHICA Canada Director of Programs and Projects. Karen is going to give us an update on the audit tools and also the post-conference session that will be held in Saskatoon. Karen?
Thank you, Jerry, and welcome everyone to this brief session. I just wanted to give some recognition to the ongoing members of our CHICA Canada Working Group members of Programs and Projects. And these members have, many of them have been on from the start that I initiated as far as Programs and Projects Director myself back in 2006. So some very, very dedicated members across Canada. And I consider them my key partners in all of the work in Programs and Projects. As far as the working group members of the CHICA Audit Toolkit Working Committee, again, some very steadfast folks that have really, really been with me all through this process of putting together the audit tools. From the initial thought that Nora Boyd had back in 2003 for a CHICA audit toolkit. It's been a while developing, but when we got going, we really got going, and I have to really give credit to all of my working committee members in helping me with this. And also giving thanks to the programs, the Standards and Guidelines Committee for helping Programs and Projects move the tools through the approval process and get them up on the website. The Canadian Association of Environmental Managers is responsible for sponsoring 10 of the environmental cleaning toolkits that are part of the tools and also their annexes. And Virox continues to sponsor all of the toolkit documents in part. So that has been very, very much appreciated, having that industry partnership on these tools. The Audit Toolkit Working Committee, we we are continuing to meet to continue looking at the few audits that remain that have come to our attention as being needed to be included in our audit tools. So basically, the fourth Friday of every month is our teleconference meeting, and the second Friday of each month we have an electronic meeting in that we have deadlines to meet to review materials and have input for the next teleconference meeting. We have decided not to do specific audits for occupational therapy, physical therapy, or recreational therapy departments, as there seems, in our opinion, to be sufficient audit tools that cover a number of the prime infection prevention and control aspects that are in other tools, such as the hand hygiene tools, the routine practices, and environmental cleaning documents, etc. I have listed a number of audit tools that are continuing at various stages of development, and certainly if there is something that you feel it's a burning need as an audit tool that we haven't currently got, please let any of us on the Audit Toolkit Working Committee know. In 2001, I did do a number of presentations in person on the CHEEK Audit Toolkit, and I've listed them there. It was very nice to be out in Regina in the spring of this past year, 2011, and that conference was very, very well attended. How many members did we have, Jerry? Did you say around 250 at that?
We had over 200 participants.
Yes.
Here.
That was just wonderful attendance in Regina. We also had the CHEEKA National Post Conference in Toronto. And again, that was just on the audit toolkit, and that was very, very well attended with over 200 individuals in at that presentation as well. I presented at a CAM conference in September in Collingwood at Blue Mountain on the CHEEKA audit tools, and did a presentation at the Northwestern Ontario chapter at their meeting in September on the audit tools. In October, I presented at the CSA and accreditation conferences on the CHEEKA audit toolkits, and also presented in the Northwest Territories in December of last year in Yellowknife on the audit tools. Lots of very good interest in our audit tools generally. In 2012, coming up at the end of this month, on March 29th, I will be presenting on the CHEEKA audit tools to CHEEKA chapter of Northeastern Ontario. So lots of interest out there in the tools. Just wanted to bring up the post-conference auditing session that we are going to be having in 2012. We did have a post-conference auditing session after the National Conference in Toronto in 2011. And overall, this session was given a very good evaluation. Participants left indicating that they would discuss the toolkit further with colleagues and pursue additional learning on auditing. One major finding we noted at the post-conference auditing session in 2011 in Toronto was that ICPs in general were not aware of the follow-up loop process and documents built into the audit toolkit itself, and how this information could be used to record and address audit deficiencies in their practice settings. So again, this is an area that we will give some, we'll be definitely dealing with in our post-conference session in Saskatoon. So we really want to take people through the whole audit loop, including the scoring of the audit tools, but definitely looking at closing the loop on audit deficiencies found. The 2012 Ecolab poster contest, we really would like to thank CHEEKA, New Brunswick, and PEI for their willingness to host the 2012 Ecolab poster contest, and to Ecolab, our partner for many, many years on this, for their continued support. The selected theme is spread knowledge, not infection. And as Jim had mentioned earlier, we will be announcing the winner at the national conference at the opening ceremonies. We had around 40 submissions this year, and the final judging and selection for the winning poster was completed on March 2nd with myself, the Ecolab representative, Susan Pesco, and CHEEKA New Brunswick PEI reps, Deborah Brown, Bernadette Timone, Jane Stafford, Kelly McLean and Stacey Burns. And Jerry was so helpful in helping to moderate the discussion to a conclusion of the winning poster. As mentioned earlier as well, we're continuing to work with BD in consideration of further roadshows and webinars, and we will watch as soon as decisions have been made and planning is started on this, and we'll keep you informed accordingly. Just a note, at the end of 2012 is the end of my term as Programs and Projects Director. I have served two terms in this position, and which will end, as I said, in December. I started in 2006 and did three years there, and then I'm in the last of the two terms this year. So if anyone is interested in knowing more about this position and its portfolio, please feel free to contact me. I would be pleased to answer any questions you might have. And thank you. Over to you, Jerry.
Thank you very much, Karen. And who are those lovely babies you've got with you in that last
Those are my four boys that don't want to leave home. there's Thule, the one on the right, and I've got a standard schnauzer down at the bottom left, and two minis kind of diagonal to each other. So
they're beautiful. Thank you for sharing those.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Again, if anyone has questions for any of our speakers, please text them in the Q&A column on your screen, and we will add them. We will answer them as best we can at the end of this session, and what we can't answer, we will answer by email. I'd now like to introduce Dr. Donna Marleo, who is the Chica Canada Director of Education.
Thank you, Jerry, and good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to start by just reviewing very briefly the items that come under my portfolio. Some of them seem to already have been addressed, but I will give a little bit more detail on the rest of them. So to begin with, I am overall responsible for the annual conference, but I'm happy to have delegated that to the National Scientific Program Committee. And Anne has given you lots of detail about the upcoming Saskatoon conference, which sounds really good. And as she mentioned, the National Committee process is actually running very smoothly, so we're quite pleased with that. The planning is underway for the 2013 Ottawa conference as well, and all too soon we will be looking at 2014 conference planning as well. The big item perhaps to alert you to for 2013, not 2012, but the next one in Ottawa, is that we're going to move to a shorter conference by one day. We will be eliminating the novice and advanced ICP days, although we will continue with a pre-conference day. And there's a couple of reasons for that, but the pressing reason is that the conference is just so long, people are having a harder and harder time getting away for the full length of it. And now that we have this wonderful webinar capacity, we want to move forward with alternate strategies for providing both advanced and novice education. So that's all I'm actually going to say about the conferences, but I will be talking in the next few minutes about the novice course for ICPs, the endorsement of basic courses, a little bit about the education committee, and then some further education initiatives. So you're probably all familiar with the Chica Canada course. That was originally running at the University of Calgary for a number of years, was thoroughly evaluated and then redeveloped into its current mode, which consists of six modules and a practicum. So the six modules are each about 4 to 5 weeks, depending on the module. They run from September until June, at which time there is a 12-hour practicum where the students go into a different setting and undertake some learning opportunities to meet specified learning objectives, which is different for each individual. Last June, we hired two course co-coordinators who between them have been doing a fantastic job in interacting with students, interacting with the instructors and the facilitators, making sure the whole thing is running quite smoothly. So that has been a huge relief to get policies and procedures and orientation and the modules, et cetera, running as smoothly as can be. because as you can imagine, moving into the new modality did involve some startup issues, but we're quite happy with the way it's been progressing now. Those two course coordinators, Jane Van Toen and Heather Candon, will be at the Saskatoon conference, or at least Jane will be there, for to meet with anyone who wants to meet with them, and they will give information about the course. So that's a good opportunity to meet with the course coordinators and find out more about the course if you have questions. We started with 40 students in the fall, and almost all of them are still with us. One or two had to discontinue the course because of other obligations. Each module is taught by an instructor, and there is a discussion facilitator because there's a lot of online discussion involved in each module. I did a lot of the teaching last year, and so this year I was replaced by new instructors. And some of the instructors from last year and facilitators did return, so we've got some continuity, which is a good thing. Many of them will also likely return next year, but it is, as you can imagine, quite a responsibility in terms of time and commitment, and it is a great opportunity for our experienced ICPs to get involved with the course, to come in as either a facilitator or an instructor. So there will be a call for some instructor or facilitator positions that will be opening up for next year, so keep an eye out for that. Otherwise, the program is running smoothly, and the final item to be dealt with in terms of setting it up and running it as we want it to be run is to finalize an advisory committee. We have a tentative one up and running that will oversee the curriculum, but it needs to be renewed and the policies and procedures really further developed and finalized. So I'll probably have more to report on that next year. I think that's it for the course. In terms of endorsement, we do have a policy and procedure for endorsing novice ICP courses, and there have been 4 courses that have been endorsed since we implemented that procedure in the fall of 2010. And every year they submit an annual renewal form just so that we are sure that the course we endorsed is still the course being operated and offered. There's no plans at this time to endorse courses other than those designed to train novice ICPs. For example, we are not going to be able to endorse very specialized courses, like a CSA course, for example, and we will not be endorsing short courses, like a 2-day workshop. So the endorsement committee and the endorsement policy and procedure, we think, is running quite smoothly the way it is, and that's what we're planning on continuing. However, we are interested in being able to share educational tools that ICPs have developed for their own use, and we all want to borrow other people's so we don't need to reinvent them, but we do want a way to be sure that educational tools that are shared are meeting some kind of criterion. And so we are discussing how we might best proceed with that rather than just to set up a web space where people can post whatever they want. We want a review procedure with some criteria. We've had preliminary discussions with CHICA members about what those criteria might be, and key amongst them is that there is some evidence that they are effective. For example, they've been pilot tested. People also want them to be generally widely applicable. They want them to be clear and practical and user-friendly. So those are probably going to be included in the criteria. But for the rest, we need to work on what committee is going to do that, if we need to set up a new committee, or can an existing committee do it, what are the terms of reference, and so on. Again, more opportunities for people to get involved with that recognition of educational tools, but also the endorsement committee. Some of the members, their terms will be finished soon, and so we will be putting out calls for new committee members as well. In terms of the education committee, there is one, and most chapters have a representative on it, but it has not really been functioning the way it was originally intended, which was to do some projects as well as to be a conduit between the board and the chapters. And a lot of that is because I've been way too busy to be able to do a lot of that dissemination of information. However, there have been many, many little projects on the go, and some of them not so little. So we do have education subcommittees, although they're not reporting back to an education committee as such. So in order to make that process work a lot smoother, we have just put out a call for core committee members and a co-chair for the education committee. And so the idea is that the core group will lead the projects and lead the sharing of information to the wider education committee, who will then share it with their chapters and bring back questions and issues from the chapters to the core group. So we will get that up and running over the summer for presumably the fall. And then I guess my final slide is going to be about It's about the strategic plan related initiatives. So as I said, there's been a lot on the go in terms of education apart from the conference and the endorsement committee and the TICA course. We did do a member survey in the fall of 2010 looking for direction in terms of education topics. The results of that have yet to be shared. We are working on the recommendations. The report itself is more or less ready to go, but given the resource issues that Jim mentioned in terms of moving forward, we haven't actually finalized any recommendations and have been holding off on sharing the whole results of the member survey. But that will come out probably in the summer. One of the things that has been accomplished is the development of the routine practices learning modules with Georgian College and Y Communicate that Jim mentioned, and they were launched just recently. And more information is available from a link on the CHICA webpage, and there will also be information at the conference in Saskatoon. Another plan or another project that we've had on the go is the development of orientation packages for new ICPs, and there have been a number of modules that have been drafted related to the key topics for novice ICPs, and we will continue to work on those and eventually make them available once they've gone through the next step of finalizing them. I've already talked about the recognition of educational tools. So the last item to talk about is the idea of developing other learning opportunities. We have talked about modules to replace Novice ICP Day, and as well as modules on more advanced topics, and Karen has already mentioned the roadshows. The member survey that I mentioned briefly did identify a number of potential topics for discussion, a couple of hundred to be quite exact about that. We were able to categorize them into 12 broad categories, and of those 12 broad categories, the three top categories were requests for education related to surveillance, teaching, and communication. And the topics within them varied from very basic to quite advanced. And so examples of topics would be building better databases or analyzing trends. Statistics figured quite prominently in some of the suggestions, as did communication. How do you convince people to pay attention to infection control precautions, for example. So we've got lots of suggestions for topics that are of interest to CHICA members, and it's now a question of figuring out how to move forward with them. The three most popular learning modalities from that survey were one-day workshops, webinars, neither of which are a surprise, and self-learning modules, which is not something we had previously considered. So we've got lots of material to work with, and now it's a question of finding the resources to develop some educational opportunities for everyone. And so in conclusion, the emphasis for education in the past few years has really been on getting that course up and running, as well as the endorsement policy and procedure in place, and getting the national conference planning working. And then very recently, we focused a lot on the RP learning modules with Georgian College. The emphasis in the next few years will be on the functioning education committee and developing some additional learning opportunities. And there will be plenty of work to go around, so please watch for calls for involvement. And if you have any questions, please let me know. Thank you. And Jerry, I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you very much, Donna. Again, if there's any questions, please text them in the Q&A column, and we will answer them as much as we can before the session ends. It is now my pleasure to introduce to you Julie Storr, who is Vice President of the Infection Prevention Society, our colleagues in the UK. Julie is also with the World Health Organization Patient Safety, and she is going to be a presenter at our conference in Saskatoon. So we're bringing her from the UK to sunny and shining Saskatoon. Thank you for joining us, Julie, and we look forward to your presentation.
Okay. Thank you, Jerry. Thanks. Yes, I'm delighted to be taking part in today's teleclass. And just for the next few slides, I will be focusing mainly on some of the work that has been going on within the Infection Prevention Society, but that I think will be of relevance to anybody with an interest in this specialty of infection prevention and control. And just to say that I am very much looking forward to meeting colleagues in Canada in June, where I can certainly share a lot more information about the work that I'm doing with the WHO Patient Safety Programme. So I'll just begin by really looking at how societies like IPS and CHICA and others, of course, can influence sustainable change. And as we're all aware, we're living in a world that's changing rapidly, and it moves so fast and sometimes feels as though nothing is constant, that I think in order for us to survive and to succeed and to have an impact in terms of being of value to our members, but also to have an impact in terms of the difference we make to people's lives and health, then both individually and as practitioners and as a society, we need to be looking at some key questions and answering them very honestly. And I think we're at a very interesting time in the history of this specialty, actually. And this is essentially, in summary, what IPS, a journey that we've been on for the last few years, that I think a lot of people could take some lessons from. And some of you may have even seen us write up the story of that journey. It was published in January in the Journal of Infection Prevention, and I've given that as one of the source materials at the end of these slides. But essentially, we began a number of years ago to ask some key questions, and I think reflecting on this can help any infection prevention and control practitioner or society. We wanted to really look critically at how healthy we were. What were our vital signs telling us? And that's really what I'm going to focus on for the next few slides. Do we know what our members want? You just talked about doing surveys, and of course that's a really valuable way of collecting that information, and we certainly went down that route as one method of getting to know what our members wanted. Do we know what our patients or consumers want? And that's something I think we need to be looking to do more of moving forward. Do we know what healthcare practitioners want beyond the society? And again, we have some work to do in that regard, because do we actually ask them, and do they even tell us? So I think there are some key questions here that triggered what came next. And we started really as any organisation or anybody who works within an organisation in a specialist area would do, by wanting to really refocus on the direction that we were taking, and whether we as a society had a clear sense of where we were heading in the future, how we were going to get there, and whether we could articulate that in a way that made sense to everybody. So in terms of checking our vital signs, this is where IPS essentially started in its recent strategic renewal process. What we came up with was a vision, a relatively simple vision, that no person is harmed by a preventable infection. And underneath that vision, we developed a mission statement, and a number of you may be familiar with how we constructed that mission. And We actually did construct it around three words: inform, promote, and sustain. So the IPS will inform, promote, and sustain expert policy and practice in the pursuit of our vision, essentially. And in terms of building a bigger picture and developing aims, we then built on inform, promote, and sustain to say that as an organisation, we certainly wanted to aspire as our first aim to lead, to shape, to inform the infection prevention agenda locally, nationally, and internationally. And secondly, we wanted to influence and promote the evidence base for this specialty that's adopted universally. And thirdly, to be the organisation of choice for those involved in this specialty to sustain improvements in practice. And just a quick scan of the vision of other sister societies, if I can call it that, such as CHICA, such as APIC, there's certainly common themes that emerge, and we all essentially, even though we're on different continents, have a common purpose, and I think we should continue to build on that, as we already do have good, positive relationships. And perhaps IFIC, the International Federation of Infection Control, gives us a platform for that unity moving forward. So, again, some of you have had a look at the video that we launched when we launched our strategy. It's available via the IPS website, and it's on YouTube. And essentially, when we launched the strategy at our conference in 2011, which Anne was present at, gave an excellent keynote presentation, we did some filming of conference attendees. We asked them what they thought of the strategy, how they thought they might be able to work with us, to work with it, how it could influence their practice. And we've tried to bring this strategy alive, and we've got a series of talking head video clips that includes both patient representatives as well as infection preventionists as well as ordinary healthcare professionals. So I would encourage you to take a look at the video, which is available, and the link to that is at the end of this talk. Moving on, and still with the theme of how we launched this strategy, at the centrepiece of our conference last year, we built a wall, called it the strategy wall, and we, as you can see here, this is our president, Tracy Cooper, signing up to commit to make this strategy work, to make that vision a reality, that no person is harmed by a preventable infection. Very symbolic and powerful message here. And we urged attendees to sign the wall, and we were overwhelmed really with the engagement that we had, and by the end of conference that wall was just covered with sticky post-it notes with comments of support and endorsement for that strategy. So moving forward now, for the next 4 years, we will be really every year coming back to how we've progressed, how far are we in achieving our aims and our strategic objectives. And again, you can read, just to reinforce, you can read the full story of that journey in the January edition of JIP. So coming back to the vital signs, I think the second key vital sign that we're looking at and focusing on is our role as leaders and the leadership at every level of the society. And the leadership, you can extend this to anybody who works in this specialty. How do we lead? Are we effective? Do we inspire action in others? Are we catalysts capable of launching the energy and the potential that our members have into real solid kinetic action that can transform practice? And how do we do this? And are we fit for purpose? And I think this is something probably moving forward that we should all be considering, how we go about this, how we can do this at an individual level and at a society level as well. And I'll come on in a second to give an example of where there is some sources of inspiration and information around this issue. Thirdly, the third vital sign is the culture, the climate within which the society functions, and our shared beliefs about how we perform. Are we expressing and demonstrating quality in the way we interact both within and across the organisations we serve? And I think to look inwards for an outward facing impact is really important, and I'd certainly be building on a lot of these themes at the conference in June, but I'm just trying to dip and my toe into the water, so to speak, here. So moving on now to really look at the competencies that the Infection Prevention Society have released within the last year. These competencies came out almost exactly 1 year ago. Outcome competencies for practitioners in infection prevention and control. And you may be familiar with these competencies. There were four advanced practice domains, and underneath these there are 17 competencies listed. And these really describe how, as a practitioner in this specialty, you can progress along a continuum to a state of advanced practitioner status. And the four advanced practice domains include clinical practice, education, research, and interestingly, leadership and management. And again, we're becoming increasingly aware of the importance of that concept for this specialty. So moving on now to the fourth vital sign. This list is by no means exhaustive in any way. But in terms of our capability, do we have the right skills and talent to execute these strategies and create what you could describe as competitive advantage? And again, just to reinforce, this is, I think, of importance for somebody who works as an infection preventionist in a hospital, in the community, beyond the hospital setting, as well as to a society or an organisation such as IPS and such as CHICA, for example. How you comprise your team to be a killer team, to have killer outcomes, killer impact and killer results, I think is really important, really difficult, but certainly with regard to the Infection Prevention Society, we're looking at this in a much more systematic way as we move forward with executing and implementing our strategy. And then closely linked to all of these vital signs, this issue of motivation, which I think, coming back to what I said at the beginning, in the times that we're living in globally, it's really important that we keep that motivation and that we can motivate and excite the members of our society as well as each other so that we can drive positive practice in the people in whom we serve. Because infection prevention competes within healthcare with a whole array of other disciplines and specialties and technologies, and we have to make sure that we don't become a lost voice in healthcare. We have to keep pushing for improvements in infection prevention and control amidst constant change. And then the sixth vital sign is, how do we work beyond our core constituency? So as well as engaging with members to inspire change, how do we look out as a society to inspire others, perhaps in other professional disciplines, particularly in healthcare? How can we influence clinicians, nurses, therapists, housekeeping staff? And that may not directly seem relevant to strategy, but I strongly believe that it is, and we should not underestimate the need to do this. And some people would call that stakeholder engagement. And then finally, in terms of innovation and learning, this is probably one of the most important things that I think we as a specialist field should be turning our attention to. And already this is beginning to happen. And some of you may well be seizing this and running with this, but I certainly will be picking up on this in the June session. So the question here is, do we have the quality, the flow of new ideas, the ability to adapt and shape the society that we're members of as required? And I think one very tangible example of this that some of you will be familiar with is how perhaps we use social media, for example, moving forward to stimulate, to excite, to energize, to engage. And I don't just mean something such as Twitter, but I think Twitter in itself is a really good example of an area where we need to get much more active. I know many societies are beginning to use this to update the world about developments, pieces of research, research findings, new technologies. Many of the commercial companies who we work with as societies are using Twitter as well to inform communities about product development issues. So it's certainly not just about, for example, the IPS being the informant, providing information and spreading up-to-date relevant knowledge for practice improvement, but actually I think we should be encouraging and facilitating and developing our members, practitioners, to become very active in this global dialogue. And one of the founders of Twitter, who some of you may have read her book, Claire Diaz-Ortiz, just reminds us that Twitter isn't a frivolity, although it can be. It's about a global real-time information network. And I think every day, IPS, Chica, you, the practitioner, have something that's newsworthy to say and that will add value to this specialist area that we work in. And I think on that note, looking to the future, looking to continually innovate and adapt, I am going to say thank you to Chica Canada for inviting me to take part in this teleclass, and just once again looking forward to a vibrant conference in June. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Julie. The work of IPS is certainly inspirational to us, and we're glad that we have established an excellent partnership with IPS in sharing information. We look forward to seeing you in Saskatoon. We know that you are going to enjoy the conference as well. So thank you so much again.
Thank you.
Again, if you have questions, please text them to the Q&A box. We have time for two questions. The first is for Donna Morleo. It's a question from Barb Shea. What is the role of the facilitator versus the coordinator of the Chica course?
The discussion facilitator versus the instructor or versus the coordinator?
Barb says coordinator, but perhaps instructor is what she means.
Okay. Well, each module has an instructor and a facilitator. So what the instructor does is really sets the content, or at this point is playing with the content to make sure it's up to date and tweaking it based on previous feedback, does all the grading, sets the exams, and does participate to some extent in the discussions, but is not really the foremost person for the discussion. The discussion facilitator, all that person does is the discussion. So responds to students, keeps it going, grades it, and is really the day-to-day person, I guess, that the students see in terms of what's going on in the discussion, whereas the instructor is the person that they would go to for content, exam-type issues, sort of the other part of the course. So between them, the instructor and the facilitator, they are responsible for all aspects of each module, but the workload is divided. So that's the difference. The course coordinators are the ones who ensure that the materials get up on time, handle other student issues. You know, there's registration issues people need. let's see, they need information about the course. They need letters saying that they actually participated in the course. So they're more an administrative side and a support for the instructors, facilitators, as well as the students.
Thank you very much, Donna. And our last question is from Mandy Deves. Can we have a copy of these slides? This webinar is being recorded, and it will be archived. There will be a link from the Chica website to the site where the webinar is being stored, but the presentations themselves will also be stored on Chica's website. So we should have a button to go to our new webinar page, and the presentations will be stored, as well as a link to the archives. On behalf of Chica Canada, I would like to thank our presenters for their valuable and interesting information, and most particularly thank the participants for joining us today. We appreciate your support. We appreciate your interest. I would also like to thank, again, the sponsors of this Spring 2012 Voices of Chica. And the next Voices of Chica will be held on Tuesday, September 25th. So we thank you and have a great day. Bye-bye, everyone.